What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
When I got to Hopkins, at one point, my grandmother needed a pacemaker, and she really, really needed this pacemaker bad. And when she got it, it was immediate. I mean, it just changed her, how she felt immediately. It just changed her life experience so much immediately. And it was just such an impactful experience to see that benefit in her. And I started thinking, wow, like that's really exciting. Maybe I need to give this medicine thing a shot.
That is Eric Roche, a Goldwater Scholar studying biomedical engineering at Johns Hopkins University. Hello, I'm your host, Venkat Raman. Eric pursued a lot of interests in high school, which included the marching band, wrestling, and volunteering at Give the Kids the World. But engineering always interested him because his dad was an engineer. He just wasn't sure what kind of engineering. In middle school, a friend of his fought through cancer. He's doing well now, but seeing his friend go through that journey inspired Eric to leverage engineering to find better medical treatments. Eric joins our podcast to share his undergraduate college journey at Johns Hopkins University, his undergraduate research, winning the Goldwater Scholarship, majoring in biomedical engineering, and his advice for high schoolers. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
I am a biomedical engineering major at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. Mm-hmm. Got really interested in BME before I got here, and that's one of the main things that drew me here. And since I got here, I got interested in a bunch of different activities that actually grew my interest in medicine as well. So early on in my high school days, I got really interested in BME. Went to see family in Virginia, and while we were there, my sophomore year of high school, I got the chance to tour Hopkins, and walking around the campus, felt like a really good fit. I just really loved the campus and really could just see myself here. But when I was walking around, it just felt like this crazy, impossible dream. I was like, this would be cool. But I was fortunate that my freshman year, I was able to join a design team. And so in the BME program at Hopkins, we have kind of this program where undergrads work with a clinician on a project that the clinician comes up with, and you try build a device or software or something to try and help that problem. And so I was able to join a freshman onto that team. And that project specifically was related to cataract surgeries. The biggest difference is just a huge confidence booster in myself as a researcher and also in the work I was doing. Something that is very common to research is it's a lot of working in silence. You hope to get your research put out there, maybe a publication, something like that. But it's a lot of working in silence in the lab with your lab mates, trying to push this forward. And make the most of high school. It could be the last chance that you get to just spend a ton of time playing an instrument or being in a sport or just do a lot of different things. And so I think really making the most of high school, and I look back on a lot of my high school experiences, and not only did I really enjoy them, but even things like marching band really made it impactful personal growth for me that is still very important to me now.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Eric. So without further ado, here is Eric Roche.
So if you're ready, we can jump right in.
Sounds great. Let's do it. It'll be fun.
Awesome. Okay, so maybe the best place to start is let's talk about your overall undergraduate experience so far. Give us a feel for it.
Yeah, sure thing. So I'm originally from Orlando, Florida. That's where mm-hmm. I grew up, where I went to high school. Then I am a biomedical engineering major at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. Mm-hmm. Got really interested in BME before I got here, and that's one of the main things that drew me here. And since I got here, I got interested in a bunch of different activities that actually grew my interest in medicine as well. So since I got here, I then kind of have been working on different interests inside and outside of both research and medicine towards eventually pursuing an MD PhD. So that's kind of my long-term career goal. While I'm here, I'm an EMT on campus. I do research. A wrestler as well, the first 2 years of college.
Before we go any further, how did you pick Johns Hopkins?
Yeah, no, sure thing. So pretty early on in my high school days, I got really interested in BME. Went to see family in Virginia, and while we were there, my sophomore year of high school, I got the chance to tour Hopkins. And walking around the campus, I just felt like a really good fit. I just really loved the campus and really could just see myself here. But when I was walking around, it just felt like this crazy, impossible dream. I was like, this would be cool, but there's no way. This is not me. JHU, no, come on. So, but I had that thought that maybe one day I'd end up there. So it was subconsciously on my mind and kind of kept working towards that. And fast forward, when I went to apply and got in, I was just super excited to be here, to be able to go. And I was kind of deciding between a couple schools, and I actually came across, I was trying to see, okay, what's BME like today? Where's the happening place? And I came across this TED Talk by my current PI, Dr. Jordan mm-hmm. Green, a really great podcast or a TED Talk called Reprogramming the Human Body. It's really good. And he talked about his research in gene delivery. And I was just so inspired. He kind of talked about his career and the work he was doing now. And it just lit a fire in me. I was just so excited, wanted to contribute to that. And so that really set the deal. Okay, I'm going to go to Hopkins and see if I can contribute to that.
Tell us what you were like in high school. What were you interested in, kind of things you did?
Sure thing. So I pursued a lot of different interests looking back, and none of them were related to medicine or research or a lot of the things that I'm involved in now. And looking back, that was really awesome. And they all kind of uniquely prepared me for where I am today and with the things that I'm doing now. So I was involved in marching band the first, all 4 years of high school. I was a trombone player in the marching band and got to be my senior year, the brass captain of the marching band. And that was really fun. It was my first real experience in leadership. That was a really good experience. I also got to volunteer at Give Kids the World, which is a really cool organization based out of Orlando, affiliated with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And looking back, I think that experience might have really planted a seed of trying to help others and maybe kind of led me to where I am today, kind of interested in healthcare. And then perhaps my biggest involvement by far was wrestling. And definitely a lot of character building, work ethic that I learned from that. That was really fun. And actually, going back to the previous question of why Hopkins, being able to continue my wrestling career in undergrad was definitely a huge draw that I got to be able to do that at Hopkins. And that that was really a huge thing to be able to work with some awesome wrestlers here at Hopkins as well.
Now, you mentioned a couple of times that you were interested in BME, and it sounded like something that happened while you were still in school, in high school. What are the origins of that? How did that come about?
Why BME? Yeah, so I can definitely touch on that. So it was in middle school, actually, really early on. My father was an engineer. He works for the local utility in Orlando, Florida. And so it got me really inspired and interested in engineering early on, but just didn't know the application that I wanted to pursue. And I had a friend in middle school that unfortunately got cancer, and he fought through it and is in remission. He's doing great. And just seeing him go through that journey was just incredibly inspiring, but it really is also formative. It really let me know I wanted to leverage engineering to find you know, better treatments. And that really sealed the deal that BME was where I wanted to like apply my interest in engineering and never look back.
So now let's talk about your transition. I mean, so you get into Johns Hopkins, your dream school, you make it there. What is it like? What is the transition like?
Yeah, and I had a really unique transition, not unique to me, but certainly unique to my class, because being the class of 2024, we were that weird COVID class. So it was really an interesting time, right? So we missed our like last few months of high school, missed our high school graduation, and then got a virtual convocation as well for when we started undergrad, and really got a kind of a weird transition. And what I, looking back, it was a really soft landing in a way, because my freshman fall was virtual at home. Then my freshman spring was on campus, but the classes were still virtual. And then it wasn't until our sophomore year that we were on campus and classes were going hybrid and slowly back to in person. And you know, there was a lot of unique challenges to that, and what not anything unique to me. It was definitely my whole class. But I think that situation became kind of a uniting factor, a unique bond amongst my college class, looking back. But kind of that transition in being kind of that soft landing, it gave me time to relearn how to study, for one. So I think when you get to college, you have this mindset just from what worked for you in high school, but college is very different. And so you have to learn how to restudy. I had to relearn again how to study when I studied for the MCAT recently. So it gave me a chance to do that. And then as COVID restrictions got lifted and labs started opened up and extracurriculars could come back and wrestling came back, then as the years kind of went on from my freshman year to my sophomore year and junior year, I slowly kind of added in those extracurriculars slowly over time. And that worked really well for me to kind of set that good base in my courses and have that good foundation of study habits, and then slowly build on all those additional extracurriculars that have really made college really special. And so that's been really kind of a unique aspect to my college class.
How were your classmates? I mean, I'm guessing it took a while for you guys to get connected because of the whole COVID transition, but how did that come about?
Yeah, no, that's, we definitely had some interesting scenarios, right? Because we would hop on Zoom for that first year, and a lot of times, you know, cameras are off or things like that. And so you hear a lot of names, but you don't really know faces to those names, or maybe you see someone on Zoom for a year and then you finally meet them in person, and there's maybe they're, you know, 2 feet taller than you pictured them in your head, and that, you know, or vice versa. So there's just, it was really, it's a very interesting scenario, but it was definitely, I think my class in particular, now that we are back in person and we have this kind of more normal college life, I don't think we take it for granted for sure. So we definitely knew what it was like kind of transitioning in from COVID. And I think we do a good job now of making a point. If we were adaptable then to be able to form study groups on Zoom, and that was something that was very unique. You know, that freshman fall, we would form study groups on Zoom and have, you know, set study slots where three of us would just hop on Zoom and study. And now that we're able to, you know, go to the library and do that in person, we try to do that as much as possible. Yeah, definitely very unique.
So how are the professors and the teaching?
Yeah, I think now we're starting to finally get into kind of the more normal college field where you have a lecture in person. And the first 2 years were, you know, kind of different for everyone. So everyone was getting adapted to getting used to Zoom lectures. The professors were doing the same. My class was getting used to Zoom lectures while getting used to college. So we didn't even really know what to expect. I think actually, in a way, we, as opposed to other college students who knew what it was like to be on Zoom versus when we didn't know any difference. That was college for us for a little bit. Yeah. But now that we're back in person and we're able to actually walk up to a professor after class, ask them questions, it makes it just, it's so much better. But it was definitely, I do have to say that just learning from so many different faculty and so many at Hopkins of our professors are research faculty as well. And so they might spend the first half or, you know, a good chunk of the lecture kind of talking about the field and the information that we need to know for exams, but then they might start talking about their own research and show some data that they have. And that's just really inspiring to see, not only learn the information we need to know for the kind of fundamentals of the field, but also get exposed to what the professors are most excited about in their work and their research. And so that's been awesome as well.
So when did you start getting into research? When did you actually start doing something with your professors?
Yeah, so with COVID, when COVID first happened my freshman year, everything was virtual and labs were closed. And I knew I really eventually wanted to get into a hands-on lab. And so those options weren't really available right away, but I was fortunate that my freshman year, I was able to join a design team. And so in the BME program at Hopkins, we have kind of this program where undergrads work with a clinician on a project that the clinician comes up with, and you try to build a device or software or something to try and help that problem. And so I was able to join as a freshman onto that team, and that project specifically was related to cataract surgery. So we were trying to investigate how does temperature affect cataract surgery and how can we potentially control it. And so it was a good experience. We finished out that design team course, and then we actually stuck together. So we're still together. Now I'm a senior. All 4 years we've been together kind of building this project up all the way from kind of an academic idea into an actual startup. And so we've been having a lot of fun with that. And so that was kind of my first dipping my toe into BME and in the real world and actually applying things that I was learning in the classroom. And then finally, my junior year, restrictions started lifting, I actually eventually ended up joining that lab that I mentioned earlier from the PI that did that TED talk. So it was such an interesting experience. And it was after those 2 years, I kind of forgot that I had that had been such, you know, important to me and impactful me to come to Hopkins. But then one day I was, you know, in the lab after a couple of weeks being there, and I remembered that, and I thought, wow, now, this is kind of this is really surreal, right? This is really serendipitous that I am now here in this lab that was kind of like my one day, or oh, that would be really cool. And now it was really there. It was kind of that dream come true moment. It was really cool. And so I never took that for granted that was like my one day. And when I finally got there, I was really excited. So that was my start in research.
What kind of things are you doing? What are some Give us some flavor of the research that you've done so far.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll talk to that first team that I was working on real quick. So that team is called Therm Optic. So therm like thermal, optic like the eye. Yeah. So we're trying to understand how temperature could affect the cataract surgery. And so cataract surgery is a procedure where the lens in your eye gets clouded as you age, and then needs to be replaced. And so we actually looked at how could temperature make the procedure go faster or improve postoperative outcomes. And so we've looked into research for that. And while we were actually trying to understand the effects of temperature, we actually built a device to try and control it. So we actually submitted a patent application for that we're really excited about. And basically that is a medical device that would just be in the OR and allow the surgeon to control the saline, the temperature of the saline that's used to irrigate the eye. And so that was medical devices exposure. And then the research that I do now in that lab that I mentioned, so that's my PI, Dr. Jordan Green, is the PI of that lab. I also work with another PI, Dr. Sunshine. And so in that lab, we do nanoparticle gene delivery. And so what we do in that lab is we design these polymers that combine with DNA. And when we mix the polymer with the DNA, they form these nanoparticles. They're really small, way, way, way smaller than a cell. And what we do with that is we're able to deliver these genes like DNA or RNA to a cell. And then that allows us to reprogram the cell to get some therapeutic benefit. So something that we're really interested in that is we actually deliver these genes to a tumor. And that actually recruits the immune system to then attack the tumor. It's really, really cool. As you could probably tell just the way I'm talking about it, I could talk about that all day.
Now, are you seeing any results yet, or is it too early, or what's the?
Yeah. So yeah, for sure. So I can talk a little bit to it. So I work really closely with my graduate mentor named Catherine Lulay. We work really closely, and I've been able to be involved in a lot of really awesome projects with her. And so some things we're working on is related to trying to engineer an immune response against different types of cancers. So, and we've actually seen some pretty exciting results where sometimes if you're able to deliver these genes to a tumor, then you can actually get an immune response against distant tumors, which is really, really exciting. And something that I am particularly involved in is actually designing new polymer structures. So I'll kind of go into a little bit nitty gritty here. Something that we're looking at doing is, so I mentioned earlier, we have this polymer that we combine with DNA and that forms this nanoparticle. Yeah. And so the polymers, the way that works is the polymers are positively charged. So picture a really positively charged nanoscale piece of spaghetti. And you mix that with DNA, and DNA is negatively charged. And so they stick together like a magnet, and that forms these nanoparticles. And so what we're really interested in right now is actually making a polymer that's branched, kind of like a roots of a tree, like a 3D network. And what we've been able to show is that actually makes it much more efficient to forming these nanoparticles, and we're able to have much more efficient gene delivery. And so that's just really exciting, because a huge limitation of the field even today is being able to efficiently deliver these genes. That's kind of the biggest problem within the field. And so being able to make that more efficient, we're really excited about to then be able to improve potentially in the future a therapeutic outcome with it.
Going back for a second to your thermoptic thing with device, was that helpful to the surgeons, I mean, for the cataract surgery, or is that still not tested yet?
So it's not made it to the clinic yet. We're prototyping right now. And we're hoping to eventually get that prototype built and then eventually incorporate into the devices in the OR. But it's not finalized yet. Something that we're really excited about is the opportunity for the device to make the operation go faster. And so to kind of explain that, the way that a cataract surgery works is the old lens in your eye is removed, and a new prosthetic lens is put in your eye. And that lens is kind of actually, it's put into your eye like a burrito. And so then it has to unfurl in your eye so that you can see through it. And that can take a little bit of time in the operation. And we actually showed that if you were to heat up the solution that the lens is in, it can unfurl a lot faster. And so we're hoping that that's one way that once our device is further developed, that we could actually speed up the operation and make it go a lot smoother for surgeons. But that's in the future, that we'll actually get some clinical, hopefully some clinical results from this.
What does all this mean to you? I mean, in terms of impact, what is it doing to you?
I remind myself every day that a lot of the things that I'm doing are those things were just kind of at one point in my life, something that was just a dream or something that would be cool to be involved in. So I definitely don't take for granted that it's a lot of fun to be able to feel like I'm able to give back. And so I think some of the most exciting part about research in general is that it's an opportunity to kind of contribute back and give new knowledge. So I really enjoy my classes in college, really enjoyed learning them. But I remember like the first few weeks that I was in the lab working, for example, on these nanoparticles, I got to the semester started a couple weeks later. I sat in my first class of the semester, and it was a super cool class. I was super into it. But I remember I was sitting there thinking, man, I want to get back in the lab. And so because there's just this excitement of generating new knowledge that is just, it's really exhilarating. But personally, something that was really impactful about it is it really sealed the deal for me that I wanted research to be really deeply involved in my future career. And since coming to Hopkins, I started getting interested in this other side with medicine, but I couldn't really split the two. I saw the two just integral. I couldn't separate medicine and research in my mind. And so that really confirmed to me that in the future, I want to pursue an MD-PhD, which is a career as a physician engineer, where I'll be doing research and as well as treating patients. And I think that has a lot of unique advantages. It's a challenging career, but has a lot of unique advantages to kind of bridge those two interests of mine.
Let's talk about the Goldwater Scholarship. Maybe we can start with why did you apply?
Yeah, definitely. The Goldwater Scholarship is super cool. So it's a national research award given for undergrads. And when I first heard about it, I had saw the names of the previous people at Hopkins who got it the year before I did. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I looked to some of the testimonials from previous applicants from Hopkins, and they all said that even if they hadn't gotten the award, it would have been super helpful to them, because it was the first time that, and it was the same for me, writing a research proposal and really talking about your research to a broad audience to be reviewed. And so I was thinking of applying, but I thought, there's no way, I'm not qualified for anything like this. But my brother gave me this push. He said, you have to just shoot your shot, give it your best chance. And my graduate mentor, Katie, really supported me to teach me what I needed to put together a good app for that, and decided to go for it and give it my best shot, and then ended up getting it. So that was so exciting. I jumped around quite a bit when I got it, for sure.
Now, when did you apply? Were you in your sophomore or junior year?
Junior year. So there's a two phases to the application process. So first, in January, I submitted to our campus nomination process. So there's a committee of reviewers that's from Hopkins faculty that review applications from Hopkins, and then the top four selected to go to the national application, which we then submitted the next month. And so that's how that process looked like. So I was about halfway through my junior year. And then that was scholarship funding that went towards my senior year.
What do you think in your application made the difference in that you were awarded the scholarship? What do you think, if you were to speculate, what would that be?
Yeah, that's a great question. So something that I've tried to reflect on with it, when I first thought of applying, something I thought might have been a weakness in my application was the fact that I had so many different research opportunities that were very different areas of medicine and biomedical engineering. And I thought that would kind of make me look like I was bouncing around, but I did pursue all these various activities very purposely to grow different skills that I wanted to have. And so I think something that really looked good is the way that I was able to show that each of those different research endeavors of mine have been very intentional, and showing that breadth of research, I think, was really exciting and something that I think might have been compelling. And I think just the support of my mentors was really instrumental to helping me put together something that the best version of myself that I could, and having them to be able to invest in me as a researcher and then be able to demonstrate that in the application.
Now that you have it, now that you've been given the scholarship, what kind of difference is it making for you?
I think 100%. The biggest difference is just a huge confidence booster in myself as a researcher and also in the work I was doing. Something that is very common to research is it's a lot of working in silence. You hope to get your research put out there, maybe a publication, something like that, but it's a lot of working in silence in the lab with your lab mates, trying to push this forward. And so to have this research reviewed on a national level by a committee, and that they found it worth supporting, that was really encouraging, really motivating to me as a researcher that this was worth supporting.
Now, are you able to take advantage of the community of scholars? Are you able to tap into that?
Oh yeah, for sure. We have a Slack channel actually that we talk to each other often, to the other scholars, and we let each other know if we find opportunities. A lot of them are involved in grad school apps right now, and so they're kind of talking to each other. Hey, have you applied to this school, or is anyone here and can give me a tour? And so and that's been really cool. And we actually had a Zoom conference for that for the Goldwater scholars to kind of share their research recently, and so that was a lot of fun. For sure. It's a very supportive community.
Okay, so let's jump out of all this and let's talk about wrestling. Quite intrigued by it. Now, how did you get into wrestling? And tell us a little bit about what you have been doing at Johns Hopkins in the area of wrestling.
Yeah, I'd love to. So my journey to wrestling started way back in my freshman year of high school. So at the time, I was playing baseball and I was in the marching band. Wrestling was not on my mind. No one in my family was wrestling. I just, no one or anything like that. And I went to the kind of welcome freshman event at my high school, and the wrestling coach, you know, recruited me and a bunch of other wrestlers there, like, convinced me to do it. And I was like, oh, let me give it a shot. And looking back, it was like when I came home and told my parents, hey, I want to try wrestling. What? and so, but, you know, I decided to stick with it. And I just love the sport. It's incredibly challenging, but the discipline that it taught me as I look back, was really important. And so I grew a lot from it, all the way from starting my freshman year to then finishing my senior year in high school. And then when I was looking at colleges that I wanted to apply to, I talked to the coach at Hopkins, and the team there seemed super nice. And I thought that would be a really cool opportunity to continue wrestling. And so to be able to do that was really awesome. COVID stopped the season my freshman year, so we had a lot of training on our own that freshman year. We'd be really creative. We had a Zoom practice. We would all go in the driveway and run sprints on, you know, set up our phones on Zoom, and so we could do sprint. We were very creative to try and figure things out. And then finally my sophomore year, to be able to get on the mat after waiting a couple years was really cool. It's a great, really close group of guys. It was an awesome experience.
Fabulous. No, that's really great. That's and it's you know, I'm sure it provides you sort of the ability to kind of walk away from work and not think about all the, you know, things that are not going right with the research or something like that, and just regroup and recharge and come back. So
that's exactly right. I mean, I used to joke sometimes, especially when things got really busy in the middle of a season and things like that, that wrestling was my break from classes and classes were my break from wrestling. But it's so true. I used to like really say, you can't really think of integrals when you're running sprints in the wrestling room or being thrown around. So it really is that great mental break. And just the way it worked out for my schedule for a while with practice was always in the early afternoon. And so I would have my classes during the day and then I'd go to practice for a couple hours. It was kind of my built-in exercise, mental break, come back, have dinner, and then be able to study for a little bit more. And so it just, that worked really good for my workflow. It's kind of a built-in mental break that was really fun. And it's just really a great experience.
Now I'm going to segue over to your major. I know that BME was something that you had on your mind and you wanted to do right from high school. Now, you said something interesting that along the way, you added medicine to this. Now, how did that come about? What was it that sort of precipitated that or made that happen?
Yeah, so there was a lot of things I think that happened in parallel that looking back, that kind of led to that coming to my mind. And so I didn't really have a lot of exposure to medicine growing up, but I was interested in developing new treatments through biomedical engineering. We have the Johns Hopkins biomedical engineering trademark is engineering the future of medicine. And that was super exciting to me. And then when I got to Hopkins, at one point my grandmother needed a pacemaker, and she really, really needed this pacemaker bad. And when she got it, it was immediate. I mean, it just changed how she felt immediately. It just changed her life experience so much immediately. And it was just such an impactful experience to see that benefit in her. And I started thinking, wow, like that's really exciting. Maybe I need to give this medicine thing a shot. But I knew it was one thing to take care of your grandmother for a while, and another one to potentially take care of someone else's. So I wanted to get that exposure. So I decided to become an EMT, and I started that summer, I signed up, started doing a virtual EMT course, and then the next year joined the on-campus EMT organization at Hopkins. And so there's a really cool organization called HERO, which stands for the Hopkins Emergency Response Organization. And we're an undergrad-led EMS organization. And so we are 24/7 on campus, ready to respond to any emergency calls or things that happen on campus. And so was able to join them. And that was very formative as well, because being an EMT, it can be very stressful. But being able to build my skills in the classroom and then observe and build my skills clinically and then be able to actually help someone on potentially the worst day of their life. I didn't know exactly what that would be like, but I knew I needed to answer that question if I wanted to go into medicine. And I took my first couple shifts and responded to my first couple calls as an EMT. It just sealed the deal that even in those very stressful, sometimes even chaotic scenarios where you're, you know, it's kind of a controlled chaos of where you're trying to treat a patient in an emergency. There was no other place I wanted to be. And that's when I knew, okay, I want being a clinician to also be part of my career. And so that combined with my research experience kind of led me on wanting to become a physician engineer.
If you were to look back at your undergrad, and you're still, I know, in the process of going through your last year, but how much difference has doing research made to your educational career so far, and how you see your future sort of shaping up?
Oh yeah, 100%. I say every day that I learn even more in the lab than I learn in the classroom. And obviously I've learned so much from my classes as an engineer here at Hopkins. But being able to apply that in Hopkins and being able to critically think has just been incredibly impactful. So it goes even to, there's the hard skills you learn in lab, just learning how to work with cell lines. And in our lab, we to make nanoparticles and characterize them. And so there's all these very niche skills that you learn that are super valuable and very rewarding. But I think more broad than that, learning to analyze data, to plan experiments, to interpret results. These are super helpful skill sets, regardless of a career in medicine and research and engineering and science. And even outside of that, if you see a news article about some new drug or some research that has come out, and being able to efficiently and effectively kind of interpret these results and draw conclusions is a super helpful skill set. And so that broad skill set has been super impactful. And also learning to just critically think and be creative in lab is incredibly, incredibly fun, and to kind of test, you know, your like kind of intellectual curiosities. I think also super helpful part of research is that you have to be able to long-term plan. Research is a long path. It teaches you patience, but it teaches you tenacity, because most of the time it won't work, but then when it does, it feels all the better. So, and then of course that long-term planning usually these are very multi-phase projects. And so I think that skill set in managing, you know, teams undergrads, for example, my design team has been, I think, very important to my future as well.
No, that sounds great. I mean, I think you are onto some great things. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So, Eric, let's segue over to the high school students. They are, you know, either getting ready for college or preparing to, or maybe just entering high school. What kind of advice would you have for them as they think about their own college journeys?
For sure. So I think a couple things that I would advise. One is that make the most of high school. It could be the last chance that you get to just spend a ton of time playing an instrument or being in a sport or just do a lot of different things. And so I think really making the most of high school, and I look back on a lot of my high school experiences, and not only did I really enjoy them, but even things like marching band really made it impactful personal growth for me that is still very important to me now. And so I think just making the most of those experiences and enjoy them is mm-hmm. really fun. And that really segues into college as well. When you get to college, there's a lot of opportunity to explore your interests. I think you need to make the most of that opportunity because it could be the last time that you really are able to be, okay, maybe I'm interested in this, but maybe I'm not. So try those classes that are kind of maybe on the edge of your knowledge or maybe are pushing your skill set a little bit. And I think you'll find them really rewarding and or at least very formative. And I think another big piece of advice that I would give is really seek out mentors that are willing to mm-hmm. invest in you, and then invest in yourself every day. You know, when you're in lab, like try to learn something every single day. I think I've been extremely fortunate to have amazing research mentors, and they have just made an incredible impact on me now and my growth as a researcher and for long into my future. And so I think that's really important, and valuing those relationships has been incredibly impactful. And last thing I think I'll mention, that a great piece of advice that I got, and I really have to give it to my parents for allowing this and for encouraging me to do this, was if there was a school that I could dream, they were willing to let me apply and they pushed me to apply. And so advice that I'm glad I received and that I really want to give forward and push forward is that if there's a school that you can dream, go ahead and apply. Especially if the price tag scares you potentially, or you don't know if you'll get in. The only way that you're guaranteed to not get in is if you don't apply. So shoot your shot. I know for me, coming to Hopkins, what was the never dream? That would be really cool, but no way. And I've been very fortunate that the financial aid that I received from Hopkins enabled me to come here. Mm-hmm. And there were many schools that I applied to that wasn't possible. And so you just never know if you don't apply. So if you can dream it, go for it.
So, Eric, we're going to start winding down. Now, before I let you go, I'd like you to share some fond memory or anecdote or vignette or something that you think might be of interest to the listeners, something maybe from your research or undergraduate experience or whatever.
Yeah, for sure thing. That's really hard to do. I feel like the past 4 years I've been able to, there's just so many memories. It's hard to find one that really floats to the top, but one that comes to mind that I know was particularly just very stuck in my mind is from that team that I mentioned earlier, the Thermoptic team. And so my sophomore year, we had the opportunity, we applied to go to a business plan competition where mm-hmm. we would take this idea that we had, this product that we had, and then a potential business model that we wanted to place around it and pitch it for evaluation and try to get some funding for it. And so we were able mm-hmm. to go to Texas. Hopkins gave us a grant to be able to travel to Texas for it. So it was called the TCU Values and Ventures Competition. Mm-hmm. And so the whole team got to go. I think there were 8 of us that got to go. And we spent basically 4 days prepping for this, flying over there, practicing our pitch, evaluating how we would describe the device, the research behind it, the business model that would go around it. And so we had 4 days in a state that I had never been to, in a city that I had never been to grow and really come close as a team. And I remember when we went to pitch it for the first time, we put our brand new, newly made logo that we made the week before, and it went up on this big monitor for the audience. And I remember sitting there, and there were two of my other teammates who just did an amazing job presenting, and I was there. And I remember I was sitting there in the first row supporting them, and that logo came up in the big screen. I had this moment like, wow, this is for real. Like we are out in the public now, in the public eye. And that was just such a good feeling because there were so many days that when we were working on this project that we would get a new piece of data and be like, oh, maybe this isn't worth pursuing after all. Or, oh man, this is this device might not be helpful in the end. Or, oh, we got an opinion that maybe we need to try this other thing instead. And so to push through all those challenges and keep working at it, and then eventually be at this moment like, wow, we're showing this off to the world now to try and push this forward. And it was just with that team to get united like that was just so impactful. It was really great.
Yeah, that's a great story. Did you guys get the funding? What happened there?
Yeah, so we didn't get the funding. We placed in the top 10 nationally. We did super awesome. We were just short of getting funding for that. But it made the whole experience, not only made us closer to a team, but really united us around the mission of that team. We made our pitch so much better. We made our way we expressed it so much better. And then the next month, two of my teammates presented, and we got far more funding than we would have gotten from that competition. And so it worked out incredibly well that it really set us up for success in the future quite well.
Fantastic, fantastic. Okay, Eric, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know it's been a very busy time. You just took the MCAT. I wish you all the best in all the stuff that you're planning to do. Hope all those dreams come true, just like the Hopkins dream. And I'm sure we'll talk more in the future. But for right now, take care, be safe, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Venkat. It's been a great, great time. I'm really grateful to be on. And hopefully something I said today can encourage someone out there who is thinking about any of this.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. Thanks, Eric. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Eric Roche about his undergraduate journey at Johns Hopkins. Eric came to Johns Hopkins intending to study biomedical engineering. When his grandmother needed a pacemaker, he saw how much of a difference the pacemaker made to her quality of life. Eric then added medicine to his career goals. His undergraduate research includes building a device to control the temperature during a cataract surgery, and also the efficient gene delivery using nanoparticles. Winning the Goldwater Scholarship was a huge confidence booster by getting the validation for his research work by a committee at a national level. I hope you're inspired by Eric's passion and energy for research, and check out Johns Hopkins for your own undergraduate journey. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College matters.
Alma matters.